Good evening and welcome to the episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. When we look at the Raiders and we look at their newly released schedule, there is so much to break down and kind of give the anticipated way too early predictions, but we're going to do it anyway. To talk about all of this, you know him, he breaks down film and gives insight, our guy, Ryan Holmes. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. It was good to get the schedule to come out so we kind of can figure out who they're playing and when and how this is going to line up moving forward for 2021.
Now, when you saw the schedule, what's the first thing that crossed your mind?
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami, right out the gate, crossed my mind. Like, that's a pretty tough start. You know, they easily could be looking at 1-2. Hopefully, you know, they go 2-1, try to have a winning record coming out of that. And then it doesn't get that much easier. So we knew they were going to have a hard schedule this year. There's not a lot of layups on here. But at the same time, I think a lot of these teams are beatable based on their current quarterback situation. So this season is going to rest a lot on that defense, even more so the first 6 weeks trying to get through those games to the bye, or first 7 weeks, knowing that, you know, outside of Lamar Jackson, there's not a lot to worry about quarterback-wise for this defense. They're going to have to stop the run.
When the schedule came out, you see fan outrage and saying how the Raiders have a hard schedule and this and that, but games have been played. There are teams with harder schedules who still do well. Do you think that's sort of a natural reflexive fan reaction to think the league is against the Raiders?
I think it's natural as a Raiders fan to always have that in the back of your mind. I'm one of those guys. Normally, when I look at the schedule, I try to figure out, okay, where did the league do us wrong? I don't have a lot of complaints about this year's schedule. When I look at it, you know, there's no three-game road trips. There's only one back-to-back road trips late in the season at Kansas City, at Cleveland. It's basically home away, home away, home away through the whole season until you get into December. So I think it broke out pretty well for the Raiders here, all things considered, that there's not going to be a lot of, you know, back-to-back trips to the East Coast like we've seen in the past. Kansas City's not coming off a bye playing the Raiders like they have in the past. So all in all, I think it lines up about as good as you could have hoped, other than, you know, that kind of three-game stretch to start the season. You know, you'd like to see the Bengals, maybe the Washington football team, someone, the Giants, there early to kind of get a couple wins under your belt. But we know this team in the past has won the hard games, and then they faded when they were supposed to win the easy games. So maybe it's good that they have, you know, three pretty difficult opponents out of the gate, and all three of those are going to be tiebreak situations come the playoffs, because they're all AFC, non-AFC West teams. So they're going to be critical when we get down to weeks 15, 16, and 17, how they play those first 3 weeks out the gate.
I'm kind of excited about the schedule where this team has the longest time. Now they can start to say, hey, we beat this team, they beat this team, they beat this team. It's a tougher schedule, but if they can navigate it to, say, 10 wins, I am not one to be impressed, but I would be impressed. Now, we're going to step through and go through all of these. First one, as you mentioned, the home opener, Monday, September 13th versus the Baltimore Ravens. Do you see the Raiders winning that one?
I'm going to say it's a toss-up. You know, the excitement in that building is going to be it's going to be at an all-time high. They've played well against Baltimore. Derek Carr has in the past. They've beat them a couple of times. The Seth Roberts game in the Coliseum comes to mind. Michael Crabtree's 2 or 3 touchdown game at Baltimore. That's going to come down to stopping the run. I think that, you know, Baltimore may try to open up the passing game in that game, because the Raiders are going to load up to stop the run. But if they can stop the run, I think they're going to do well enough to where Gruden's going to game plan enough to score in that game, 24, 28 points. So I'll go with a homer pick here, and I'll say yes, they win that game.
The following week, they play the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. It's a 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah. This one I have circled as this is a trap game. You don't want to really say that early in the season, but, you know, Pittsburgh's not going to be as good as they have been in the past. You got an old Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to lean on Najee Harris. But going on a short week cross-country to play a 10 a.m. West Coast or 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff, that's hard on a normal week, let alone a short week. And it's going to be a physical game with Baltimore. So I'm going to lean that's probably a loss, although I don't really want to say that. But that's a tough defense. Let's just hope that they split those first two games between Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
I agree. Then, as you mentioned, the home-away type of dynamic of this, the Raiders go back to Allegiant Stadium, and they face the Miami Dolphins. How do you see that one breaking down?
Well, I'm going to think that that's a winnable game, too. I know Miami had a good record last year, but the Raiders had them beat last year. Were it not for Fitzmagic and a little Arden Key, Damon Arnett slip up there late in the game. I'm going to think the Raiders can win that one. So if they can get to 2-1 out of those first three, and we may be wrong, maybe they lose to Baltimore and then they beat Pittsburgh and Miami. But I think that, you know, Gruden's teams have played well out of the gate. So I'm going to think that they're 2-1 going into week four at that point.
I honestly don't see how they can – no, I'm sure they can lose this game, but this fits them. Like, I am not sold on Tua. I'm not. I don't see it yet. It could be there, but it's not really there right now. The following game, they go to SoFi Stadium and play the Los Angeles Chargers of Inglewood.
Yeah, so this is technically another home game for the Raiders. It'll be on Monday night, although it'll be on the road. I expect that stadium to be packed heavily with Raiders fans, as it typically is when they play in L.A. This game is going to be tough. You know, Herbert played really well last year, and then you throw in they've made some nice additions to that offensive line. So at this point, it pains me to say this, but I'm going to lean towards a road loss here and say they're 2-2 coming out of those first four games.
Then they, you know, take the quick flight back to Las Vegas. You're right. This sets up a perfect home and away. This is actually kind of an interesting schedule.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Now, they welcome the Chicago Bears and old friend Khalil Mack. Now, when I look at this game, if the Bears had a veteran or a competent quarterback, they have Mike Glennon, who they actually tweeted out when they signed him as QB1, which I find hilarious. But Justin Fields might win that job. I really don't see the Bears with a rookie quarterback walking into Vegas with a victory.
No, I agree. Whether it's Andy Dalton, I think you said Mike Glennon, but it's going to be Andy Dalton and/or Justin Fields. You know, I think, you know, that offense in Chicago's got some issues no matter who the quarterback's going to be. I think that plays out well. Obviously, we're assuming everyone's healthy on both rosters, and Derek Carr is playing in this game, and the offense is functioning at a fairly high level. But I'm going to give them the win there. I think it's going to be a slugfest. Gruden's going to establish that run. He's going to figure out how to scheme a way to block up Khalil Mack like they did in London a couple years ago, especially with Leatherwood expected to start on the right side as a rookie. They're not going to leave him one-on-one with Khalil Mack very much. So I'm going to say they're 3-2. And I expect a big game on the ground between Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs in that game.
Agreed. The following week, which is Sunday, October 17th, they play the Denver Broncos at something called Empower Field at Mile High at Invesco Stadium. Where the so it's a long name, but when I look at the Broncos and I think of the Broncos, they have such phenomenal talent on both sides of the ball, except for probably the two most important. Left tackle and quarterback. I'm not sold on Drew Lock, and Garrett Bowles is a hold waiting to happen. How do you see this one breaking down?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Drew Lock and or Teddy Bridgewater at all. So I think the Raiders can definitely go on the road in Mile High and win a football game there. And I think it's going to be another game where Gruden's going to establish the run. I don't think they're going to challenge that Denver secondary very much down the field. It's going to be ball control, play close to the vest. And hopefully the defense is up to a challenge there to stop the run with Denver with the rookie running back, Javonte Williams. But I think the Raiders can go in and win that game, too. If they're 4-2, it's kind of what we're predicting right now, coming out of those first six games, I would sign up for that right now.
I agree. Now, this one is interesting because they welcome the Eagles to Allegiant. And we're not sure what the Eagles are going to bring. They pretty much threw away the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era and decided to load up on wideouts. They look like Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy. They're going in a different direction offensively. But I just, again, I'm not sure if Hurts, by that time, is he ready to face a defense? Yes, the Raiders have serious issues on defense, but do you think Hurts will be able to affect this game and be able to score on this defense?
I have a lot of questions about the Eagles' offense, especially, you know, what kind of offense they're going to run with the new coach coming out. I believe it's Nick Sirianni. I'm just trying to think off of memory. Came up from the Colts. But the Raiders' defense, if they think they're going to throw the ball down the field with Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor, two speed guys on the outside, that doesn't work against the cover three defense. So Jalen Hurts is going to have to stay in. He's going to have to read the defense. He's going to have to take the underneath stuff. He's going to have to check it down. And I just don't think he's at that stage of his career where he can make those quick decisions and be patient enough for four quarters to do that. I don't know how much they're going to run the ball. They didn't really do it last year. It could be, you know, whether that was play calling or the offensive line, a lot of injuries. And that defense in Philadelphia is not very good either. So I'm going to say the Raiders can win that game fairly comfortably at that point and walk into their bye week at 5-2. And there's not a lot on that Philadelphia roster. For me, there's a good chance they're picking in the top five next year, just based on the current construction of their roster.
I agree. I think that this current version of the Eagles, they have young building blocks, but they have a far way to go. When we come back from break, we're going to discuss the games after the bye. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Figgs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, going into the bye, which is Halloween, actually, the Raiders will sit at, if this holds, 5-2. Deep breath, everybody. This is where usually they will start to fade, but I don't know. I think this schedule kind of lines up pretty fairly for them. So November 7th at 1 o'clock Eastern, they go to MetLife and they face the New York Giants. The Giants have Daniel Jones. They have talent. Again, one of these younger teams that are still trying to put it together. How do you see the Raiders faring in this one?
Well, this is where the schedule starts to turn and the weather is going to start to turn. So 5-2, and we've all been there, 6-3, 6-4 the last couple of years. And they're going to lose some games down the stretch here. We're just going to have to pick and choose which ones they are. I think at the Jets, or I'm sorry, at the Giants going cross country at 10 a.m. is not as bad, considering they're coming off a bye. They're not playing, you know, obviously the Sunday before late afternoon game and then having to go across the country. The defense with the Giants is very good. It's an underrated defense that performed very well last year. It's not going to be a walk in the park. It could be windy. I don't live on the East Coast, but the weather could be cold there in early November. I'm going to say this is a close game, but they find a way to win it at the end and walk out of MetLife Stadium 6-2.
Hey, I can see it. Now, as you mentioned, the things turning. They head back to Allegiant.
Now it's going to get tough.
It gets real tough now. They head back to Allegiant, and they face the rival Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this one's tough. Raiders fans probably want to stop listening at this point, but I think that they're going to slip up here. It's tough against Kansas City. It's going to be a shootout. Kansas City's offensive line is remade in a good way. This might be the best offensive line Patrick Mahomes has played behind in his short. This will be his four-year career, which is going to help the running game with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's going to help the guys on the outside. There's too many weapons there. So I think they are going to slip up here. They're not going to go 9-0 at home, so they're going to lose some of these home games. So let's put an L in the column next to the Chiefs game.
So it's at 6-3. That's doable. That's not that bad. They stay in Vegas, and they welcome Joe Burrow and whatever semblance of an offensive line they can cobble together in Cincinnati to face the Bengals.
Yeah, I think the Raiders right the ship here. The Bengals, again, a team. They have a quarterback. Hopefully he's still upright coming off that knee injury in week 11. They don't have an offensive line there in Cincinnati. The defense there, they've lost some pieces. Obviously, they traded Carlos Dunlap last year. They've lost some corners. They ended up Geno Atkins got released. So I don't know what the Bengals are going to offer here at that point in the season. So let's give the Raiders a win there. I think that they can win that game fairly comfortably and be 7-3 walking into Dallas for Thanksgiving.
I agree. Now, Thanksgiving, it is the end of tradition there for the Cowboys, but the Raiders head to Arlington and they face the Cowboys at Jerry World. I see. It depends on what Dak Prescott, because that offense has weapons. They have serious weapons on offense. The defense is still, they got younger with, well, not younger, they got more explosive with Micah Parsons and, you know, who, the Cowboys might be, this might be, I don't know, this feels like a loss. How do you see it?
Yeah, to me, I don't think it matters who's in that spot. You're coming off a Sunday afternoon game and you're playing on the road on a Thursday, which, you know, just remove the logos off the helmets. I think NFL teams, since they went to this format, the road team wins like 36% of these games. So there's a two-thirds chance they're losing this game no matter who that opponent is. Just if history holds here. Dallas, like you said, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, Michael Gallup on the outside, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper against that young secondary. I know Dallas doesn't play much defense, but this feels like a 41-38 shootout, and the home team figures out a way to win it at the end. So I'm going to put an L in the column next to the Cowboys game and say they're 7-4 after that.
I agree. Now they go back to Vegas and they welcome the Washington football team. It's just so weird that an NFL team doesn't have a mascot anymore. They should just pick something and just go with it.
Especially this long. It's been over a year now. Yeah, they come home and play Washington. This one's a toss-up again. I understand what Washington's running out there in offense. Kind of a, you know, they put together an offensive line. They drafted Sam Cosmi. They just signed Charles Leno. They have Brandon Sheriff on the inside. The offensive line's going to be okay. It's the quarterback. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Which guy's showing up on December 5th in Las Vegas? Is it the guy that's going to throw three or four interceptions, or is it the guy that's going to pull magic out of the hat at the end of the game? This do not overlook this game, though. The Washington football team has a very good defense with a really good front seven. And if Jamin Davis, their first-round pick, settles in by that point at middle linebacker, they're going to have Pro Bowl-type players at all three levels. So this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think, you know, being at home is going to help here, and I think the Raiders' defense does just enough, a late turnover from Fitzpatrick, and they squeak it out with under a minute to go, and I think they walk out of Allegiant Stadium with another W. So let's put them at 8-4.
8-4. Well, 8-4 with five games left. Whew.
It's going to get harder here in December, though.
Oh, it gets harder immediately in December where they head out to Kansas City and they face the Chiefs. How do you see that one?
Yeah, you know, obviously the Raider fan in me wants to say they figure out a way to split with the Chiefs. I don't see them cold weather. December 12th, snow, 10 degrees, whatever the temperature is, wind out there, early game. Unless Patrick Mahomes is hurt and not playing, I think Kansas City ends up winning this game. And the Raiders fall to 8-5, and they lose another divisional game. At that point, they would be 2-2 in the division, probably have lost the tiebreaker to Kansas City at that point, and now we're talking wild card, which brings those early season games, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami. Those games are must wins early in the season as we get to this point down the stretch in December.
and they head on the road. They stay on the road, and they go to First Energy Stadium and face the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. How do you see that one?
You know, part of me wants to say, well, the Raiders went in there last year and won 16-6. You know, the Browns don't present much of a challenge. That would be completely wrong. That was a weather-based, what did they call it, Usher? Grapple? Whatever was going on in that game where it was cold and hail and windy and, you know, you couldn't kick the ball, you couldn't throw the ball. This Cleveland Browns roster, and I tweeted this out earlier today, if you take the quarterbacks of every team in the NFL and just look at the rest of the roster from, you know, position group-wise, Cleveland might have the best roster in the NFL. They have a really good offensive line. They have two good running backs. They have Jarvis Landry. They have Austin Hooper. They have Odell Beckham Jr. They have Myles Garrett. They have Jadeveon Clowney. They got on the back end, they signed John Johnson, Ty Hill, Denzel Ward. Grant Delpit was hurt last year, who was a highly thought-up safety out of LSU. Greedy Williams from LSU is on that roster. You know, two cold weather games late in the year. I'm going to say they end up losing that game as well and fall to 8-6.
But they hopefully will rebound in going back to Vegas and welcoming the Broncos. Do they sweep the Broncos?
Yeah, I think they find a way at that point. You know, it's circle of wagons. It's 8-6. They have three games left. They have to figure out how to win two of those three to get to 10-7 and give themselves a shot. I think at that point they're going to go home and they're going to figure out how to do it. Again, the Broncos, unless Drew Lock comes out of nowhere or Aaron Rodgers shows up in a Broncos uniform, I just don't see how they can compete at that position. They didn't do much to help fortify that offensive line in the offseason as well. So I think the Raiders figure out how to come home and win that game as well and figure out how to give themselves a chance, a fighter's chance down the stretch here, and that would get them to, I think, 9-6 at that point, if I'm doing the math in my head correctly.
Yes, this is the game now when they head to Indianapolis, the game that scares me for a couple of reasons. First, the Colts can run the ball. They have a stellar offensive line. They have good receiver. They have a deep receiving core, and the defense, the front four is interesting to me. And not just that, but Darius Leonard and the one thing, if I am a Raiders fan, that I might be able to hang my hat on is that secondary of the Colts. Otherwise, this game is dangerous.
This is a dangerous game, but it's a winnable game. I don't trust Carson Wentz. You know, I watched enough of him the last 2 years with the Eagles. He makes bad decisions. Definitely throws the ball into traffic a lot. He fumbles the ball a lot. If they can stop the run in this game and force the ball into Carson Wentz's hands, he has weapons on the outside, but they're young. Paris Campbell missed time last year with being hurt. He's a second or third year guy. Michael Pittman's a second year guy. They have T.Y. Hilton, but he seems to always be on the injured report every week. Who knows if he's going to be playing that late in the season. If they can avoid the turnovers and run the ball and get the ball to Darren Waller in this game, because they play a lot of zone defense. They are a lot of cover two in Indy. They have really good safeties. They have decent corners. So this isn't a game where they're going to be chucking the ball down the field. I'm going to think that they figure out how to overcome the hurdle late in the season, avoid the collapse, and walk out of Indianapolis somehow with a 3-point victory and get them up to 10-6 heading into the last game at home against the Los Angeles Chargers.
And that's the game we'll definitely discuss, Sunday, January 9th, which that seems super late for a regular season game, but the Raiders finish at home and they face the Chargers. Playoffs possibly on the line. Can they sweep the Chargers?
I think they can. This game could come down to a lot of different things. Both these teams could be at 10-6 at that point in the season, 9-7. This game could be determined who finishes second in the division, who gets that wild card. And it could be like a 3- or 4-way tie with some of these other teams. With the 17-game schedule, there's going to be a team that's going to win 10 games and not get in the playoffs, I believe. And just looking around the course of the AFC, I think year four of Derek Carr, year four of John Gruden. I think the defense gels at that point. I think the advantage of having Gus Bradley on the staff with Ron Millis is they know the Chargers offensive personnel in and out. They know how to affect Justin Herbert. They know what he's good at and what he's bad at. And I think that they figure out a way to do this. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. And this is, again, the Raider fan in me. I think this is a tie game, a minute left, 30 seconds left, and the defense, pick six, Raiders go to the playoffs.
Now, this is...
How about that? How about the defense?
I think I kind of agree because I look at it, and...
Trayvon Morrig, pick six to the house.
This is the Mike Mayock saving his... This game saves Mike Mayock's job. I think the Raiders win this game. I think that they get to the playoffs based on the strength of this victory. Mike Mayock's job is safe.
No, again, I think Raider fans, you know, even if it's a little slippery there in the beginning, you know, keep the faith. The middle of that schedule, there's some winnable games. Four games in a row there, the Bears, the Broncos, the Eagles, a bye, and then the Giants. If they can figure out how to win three of those four, then they're going to have a chance. Even if, you know, they lose both games to the Chiefs, even if they stumble, stub their toe on Thanksgiving. Because those last three games, I think, are winnable. And then they have that nice four-game stretch right in the middle. So if they can figure out how to get two of those first four games and just win the games they're supposed to win, which is tough to say because this team hasn't done that. And, God, who knows how long, probably since the late 90s, early 2000s. But they can just win the games they need to win. They're going to have a chance to win 10 or 11 games and find themselves playing a playoff game on the road. And I guess it's going to be mid-January. I was going to say early January, but obviously with the season ending on the 9th, that playoff game is going to be on the 16th, 15th or 16th.
And that's the interesting part with this team. The way the schedule is, lack of long road games, or long road trips, I should say, winnable games, this is a no-excuse season. Like, the way the schedule, if we went through it, the Raiders should make the playoffs based on the way that the schedule is layered and how the road games don't turn into long adventures. There's no excuse not to make the playoffs with the schedule. Win the game, like you said, win the games you have to. Actually, win the games that you are expected to win. No foolishness. No Jets in, was it 2019?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about the 34-3. I don't even want to talk about that game.
No Titans, because Eric Harris is not there to get torched by A.J. Brown. But
yeah, and if you look at it the other way, mm-hmm. I was going to just throw one last thing, and if you look at it, take the logos off. Let me just name the quarterbacks they're playing this year. This is correctly. Lamar Jackson, an old Ben Roethlisberger, Tua, Herbert in his second year, Andy Dalton, Drew Locke, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones. Like, that's the first half of the schedule. Any of those guys other than Lamar Jackson and or Herbert give you any fear or any reason to think that this defense is going to give up 30 or 40 points? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the second half of the schedule. Obviously, Mahomes twice, yes. But then you have Joe Burrow in his second year, Prescott, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Baker Mayfield. And granted, the roster around Baker Mayfield is really good. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield as being a top 10 or 12 quarterback in this league. And then you get the Broncos again, and then you get Carson Wentz and Justin Herbert. This is not a schedule where you're playing Aaron Rodgers twice. Patrick Mahomes, you are twice, but there's no Russell Wilson two times on this list. There's no Peyton Manning. There's no Tom Brady. There's no Drew Brees. There's no excuse why this defense can't figure out how to get somewhere 18 to 20th in the league and give this offense a chance to win 10, 11 games.
I agree. If people wanted to contact you via social media, how would they be able to?
Yeah, they can reach out to me. The Twitter handle is @rholm22. It's RHOLM22. And shoot me a message. Hit me up if you want. I have guys that have been sending me questions. I'll answer anything I can for you.
There you go. Ryan Holm, thank you so much for joining us on the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.